Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, on Phil TV and HD, you'll notice I'm wearing just a red sports shirt, not even a very well-pressed red sports shirt. But I have the top button unbuttoned because a very dear friend of mine said today, people that button their top buttons have murdered other people. Welcome to our program.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. Just something up.
Just throwing it out there, man. Yeah, that's pretty...
Don't worry about it, bud. Welcome to our program. It's a throwaway. It's Thursday night. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday night or Friday morning, depending upon where you are. Our number is 877-876-7445, and we are online at philhenryshow.com, where with a backstage pass, you can watch the performance of the Phil Hendry Show, as well as listen to it, as well as marvel at it, as well as say, oh my God, what have I done? I bought a subscription to this maniac. I will never be the same. A few program notes at Phil TV and HD on the website, as well as right here on our radio show. My brain is either working faster than my mouth or vice versa. We are giving away one free month of a backstage pass to our website. All you have to do to win it is to register, and then, of course, we'll have a drawing. So all you have to do to win is to register and then win the drawing, and you do that by hashtagging BSP, the letters BSP, at PhilHendryShow.com. Now, that not PhilHendryShow.com, that's Twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, so I already butchered that.
Just do it again.
All right. All you have to do is hashtag BSP at Twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, or you can go to our fan page at Facebook and like the fan page. It's Facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. That's it. Coming up this weekend, we will also have on our website on Sunday at noon the audio, the radio broadcast of the Milwaukee Lions preseason opener at the Utah Flaming Cavalry, the Beaver Dome, in Salt Lake City with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. Welcome to our program. We have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. They will join us from the Western States Homeowners Association. There's a little bit of fallout from the, and not a whole lot, and I suspect what we learned last night on our show is true, that the comments of Vice President Biden, to wit, his comment that he wants to enslave y'all or put y'all back in chains, as he spoke of Mitt Romney and Mitt Romney's plans economically vis-a-vis Wall Street. We have on the line Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. You know, Bobby and Steve, first of all, thanks for joining us.
It's great, Phil, to be with you. And Steve is with the boys right now.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good.
And we, Phil, actually just got done watching one of your podcasts, and it was the Kevin Pollak interview.
That's the most fun I've ever had being interviewed by anybody. The Kevin Pollak.
We thought it was great, and we just wanted to tell you.
Yeah, I would recommend everybody view go to not just what the interview that Kevin did with me, but Kevin Pollak's chat show is a great show, and it's online, and it's just a great, great interview program. Kevin interviews all kinds of people, and a lot of them, some of my favorite folks in comedy and movies. But Bobby, we're here to talk about the Biden comments and your experiences there at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. You are responsible in part. One of the things you do is you welcome new homeowners to your community.
That is correct, Phil.
Tell us about your community.
So Western Estates has, we have some 170 homes in a gated community in the western part of the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles County, West Valley area. We are actually part of the city of Western Estates.
So that's an incorporated city?
That is, yes. It's a part of the county. LA County Sheriff's do our police patrol for us.
Okay.
But our community, Phil, is as I said, a gated community. We have different phases, different economic levels. We have, generally, our homes start at around 700,000 in that range. So it's we do have a more upscale families. We have higher income people.
What would you say is the most expensive piece of property?
Well, Steve, I don't.
Dr. Wright.
We have Dr. Wright and his family. He's a man who's been with us a long time. His home is probably would be appraised at somewhere in the neighborhood of $3.5-4 million.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are.
Well, we are definitely high end, but we're very hardworking people. Everyone here has earned their money after many, many years of very hard and dedicated work, and we do welcome into our community people, families. We have lots of kids. We have a high school, Western States High School, that we do a lot of cooperation with. Our parent-teacher organization interacts with them very well. And so, Phil, our community, as I said, is economically upscale, but it is a lot of very hardworking people who have put an awful lot into their homes and into their careers.
Now, you have a mixed, racially, it's a mixed community, correct?
Well, it is. We have Dr. Wright, who I mentioned, is an African-American, and his wife. And we have black families. I would say that it is mostly white. We have probably in the neighborhood of 11 to 15% of black families, Steve.
Yeah, probably a little bit less.
So it probably reflects, the per capita in terms of the population of the country. But we have been seeing a lot more black couples and black families coming and looking at our homes. And
now, you had a visit from, and you've been encouraging black families.
Well, we have. I mean, to the extent that when we meet minority families outside of Western Estates, we always encourage them to come and look at our homes, if indeed there are those for sale. We had a gentleman and his wife. He is a professional, is in the, I thought it was investment banking, but I got that wrong, Steve.
No, it's investment banking property.
He's a investment property, investment banking, and they came last weekend to look at one of the homes in our Magnolia phase. This is a higher level of home. It's a much more a pricier area. A lot of the options that you have are in marble and so forth. But these are homes that have been lived in. They are for sale. We have two.
Now, you're not doing the real estate.
No, that is handled. We don't even have a real estate office here. It is handled by whoever the broker is. But I do like to meet the people that are coming to look at the homes. And as I say, I met this gentleman and his wife. And I had heard the vice president's comments. And I had also heard some comments that were similar to those made by other white individuals looking to broker business in the black community. And
that was the use of the word y'all?
That is correct, Phil, yes. And so I can't mention the names of these people. Is that right, Steve?
They don't want to have their name used on it. I call them up.
Yeah, they don't want their names used.
No, I understand that.
But I said to them, as we were looking at these homes, at one point I said, have you all looked at some other homes? Is this the first place y'all have looked at?
So you were dropping this y'all?
Well, I was, but keep this in mind, Phil. The word or the phrase or the colloquialism y'all has taken on very contemporary currency. It is used. It's no longer regional.
A lot of people use Mr. Henry in the north, and white people, a lot of northern whites.
Yeah, a lot of the northern whites use it, as well as southern and whites and blacks. So it's become...
It has a bit of a hip cachet. I think the term y'all is now used in the hipster and other hip circles. It's a showbiz. I hear it used a lot by showbiz people. I suppose that what you're saying is true.
What I'm saying is true. I don't...
I don't know if it's used... All right, go ahead. I'm interrupting you.
Well, Phil, before we go on, understand something. I wasn't affecting it, okay? I was saying it out of a very organic sense. They were a black couple that came to look at the homes we have in our community, and it was something very spontaneous. When I was showing the homes to them, not showing because, as I said, I wasn't, this is not a real estate walkthrough. It was more of a, I wanted to walk with them as they were looking at the homes to ascertain their needs and ascertain the things that they like.
All right, so tell me what you said. You said to them, have y'all looked at...
Yeah, I said, have y'all looked at other homes? I said, how many homes have y'all looked at? I said, do y'all want to see the homes we have down on our condominium or townhouse space? Do y'all want to see this or that? So it was all very organic, and this woman, whose name I can't give you, said, when we finally came back to the homeowner's office and I wanted to send them off with a little of our... our welcome wagon basket, which has, what does it have? See, we have some fruit, we have some brochures in there, we have, crackers and cheeses, some of the high-end cheeses. And I said, y'all, it was great to see y'all. And this is when the woman said, you can give that a rest.
So she was clearly put out by it.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, that I was a little bit put out. I thought it was very rude.
But she was put out by this.
To the extent that she was, yes, she was, I suppose, upset, but we were not trying to be insulting.
Just trying to understand what we were doing, why do. This is all I'm doing for the best of intention. And a woman said that you have to give it a rest.
Yeah, I thought it was very rude of her.
I understand, but you were saying y'all been to this many houses. Have y'all seen other houses? Do y'all want to go see this and that? Would y'all like to... So you were using this...
But I wasn't using it in the sense that you're saying. I wasn't using it in that hipster sense, as I just heard you say.
It might have been... All right, I tell you what, Bobby, I don't want to...
The way we were using it, Phil, was very friendly.
Yeah, it was very appropriate because of the black people being here. And
we had a black couple, Phil.
Okay, we got to get into this a little bit more. Bobby and Steve, hang on. So Mr. and Mrs. Dooley with us from the Western States Homeowners Association showing... Not showing, they weren't, it wasn't real estate, but as Homeowners Association officers, they were walking through their homes with a black couple, and Ms. Dooley said she had used the phrase or the term y'all quite a bit, and finally, the wife asked her to quit, asked her to give it a rest. We're going to talk more with the Dooleys. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Right.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. You can get a backstage pass, watch what's going on. And we're talking here with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association about the visit they had this past weekend of a black couple looking at some of the homes that you have there at your community, Bobby. And the use of the word y'all, and I just said you all.
Phil, it's y'all, and I know that it was going to be misunderstood. You understand it's a Southern colloquialism.
No, I understand. I just, I lapsed into announcer phase there. I went, y'all. It's y'all. The question I have here is how it was received, because this couple was an African-American couple. They had come to look at the homes. You introduced yourself as the Homeowners Association president. You gave them a welcome wagon basket.
Yeah, well, Phil, we didn't do anything that was anything other than very welcoming, and we didn't do anything that was anything other than very warm.
My wife said, you want to have a welcome wagon, and went down to the welcome wagon to load it up.
What is a welcome wagon? I don't understand that.
No, it's a basket that you give.
Oh, okay, it's like a welcome wagon basket.
Yeah, and then my wife went down to the thing. She loaded up. High-level cheeses.
Yeah. And then we said, y'all want some cheeses.
So it sounds to me like every other word you used was y'all.
Well, I have to tell you something. I feel very assaulted, and I want to finish what I'm saying, Mr. Henry, because I've been in a series of these discussions over the past 24 hours with a lot of different people. I was trying to be very friendly. Now, the vice president of this country just addressed a group of black people and said, y'all gonna be in chains or whatever it was. My husband has the recording. Did you record it, Steve?
I recorded it. Joe Biden said you all be in chains.
No, we have. We understand what it. We have the recording. I have it. And it was...
Well, did you hear what he said?
Yes, I heard what the vice president said. And there's a difference of opinion based upon the comments he made as to whether it was a pandering or patronizing thing, whether it was a purely, you know, just off-the-cuff, organic statement.
I don't know what you mean by organic. What is that?
Well, in other words, if someone says something that is straight from their innate, from their very natural form of communicating, it is not affected, it was not created or invented for the person who's listening to you speak, it happens to be the way you talk, you can at least give that person credit for complete honesty. Sometimes it's inappropriate, sometimes it's vulgar, and sometimes it's very well said.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I said...
All right, so you didn't take into consideration the fact they were black.
Well, how do you not do that? You see black.
Phil, as soon as you see black people, how are you not going to take that into consideration? You understand what I'm saying? In other words...
What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that when you are going about your life and you go to the store and you see people, but then you see black people, you're going to notice that.
Do you notice white people?
I notice everyone, Phil. I mean, I notice everyone.
Well, do you notice that they're white people?
I notice that they're white, yes. But then when you see black people...
Yeah, you notice they're black.
You notice they're black. I'm trying to understand, is there a difference between you noticing white people and you noticing black people?
No, there's no difference. The only difference is that you notice blacks because they usually... All right, I'm going to be misunderstood here.
Black people. Now, Mr. Henry,
no, I know you're going to misunderstand me. They're usually not in a lot of the places we shop. Now, having said that...
All right, that's a fair enough statement. I mean, I'm not going to put you down for that. You know, but the fact is you do suddenly go, oh, black people.
No, I don't go, oh, black people. I notice, and I'll say...
Well, like the other day, you say, oh, you know, like I said the other day, Mr. Henry, huh, there's blacks. Huh, you know, you'll say this, huh?
Yeah, you'll say, huh, look at that, blacks, and...
Look at that, blacks, and what else?
Nothing else, Mr. Hendry, and I'm not going to play this game.
I'm not trying to play a game, Ms. Dooley.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to entrap me. What I said to this couple was, y'all want to look at these... I said, y'all, the vice president says it, and he's going to be reelected as the vice president of all of America, most likely. I mean, that's what I'm seeing in the polls. And he just said, y'all... I say it, and I have had to put up with nothing but 24 solid hours of people questioning me as to whether I'm a racist, whether I'm racism, whether I believe in racialism, I should say, or racisms, and whether or not I am racist. And
that's very hurtful, Mr. Anderson.
All right, I understand it's very hurtful, but nonetheless, you were told by this wife to give it a rest.
Yes. She said to me, give it a rest. I said then, and again, Mr. Hendry, it is coming from an organic place. This, maybe not. I said, it's coo. I dropped the L. I said, it's coo. Gee. I said, it's my bad. Gee. This kind of thing.
So in other words, you started dropping in these sort of hip-hoppy youth culture phrases.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I was saying these things. As a way of relaxing them.
Ms. Dooley, you know, look, do you say in your normal life, it's coo or my bad G, things like that?
My sons do.
Yeah, our boys listen to all of the hip-hop.
Yeah, my sons do. They listen to, what is it, Ludacris? They have listened to, what is the Fitty?
Fitty.
Fitty, 50 Cent?
Yes, 50 Cent, or they call him Fitty Cent. So my son does.
But you don't, Ms. Dooley. And so when you had this couple, and you said that they were a very, you said they were a couple of means.
Well, they had to have been. They were looking at a higher-end home in our area. I believe he said he was a writer and a professor.
So you're saying it's coogee, my bad G, and all of these things. I can tell you right then and there. And what did she say to that, by the way?
Ms. Renner, are you black?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are you black?
You know full well I'm not.
Then I'm. Excuse me. Why are you doing the? You know, what are you doing? I'll talk to a black. But I don't think...
You'll talk to a black.
I don't think you are qualified to talk to me or to my husband about how we... How we laid it down, if you want to put it that way.
All right, hold on, Ms. Dooley, because the people that you had in your community are one of them. The husband is on the line with us. We're going to talk to him and have him on the line with you in just a moment. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show. 877-877-877-876-PHIL. That's not, how many digits is that? That's like 12. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Ms. Dooley, we have, are you and Steve there?
Yes, we're here.
All right, we have with us Mr. Clayton, Professor Clayton, who was one of, he was the husband, Professor?
Yes, Bill.
You were out at Western Estates.
Hi, Professor Clayton. It's Bobby Dooley.
Yes, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
All right. You were there with your wife looking at the homes, correct, sir?
That is correct, yes.
All right. And you were looking at a home, I understand, for your to work in as well as a place to, obviously, to reside in, but you do a lot of at-home work.
I do a lot of writing, and I'm a teacher of Phil. By my profession is the teaching profession, but I have taught at the college level for a number of years, and so since I've started to write as much as I've been writing, and I've also gotten involved in some other pursuits, some having to do with the sciences, ornithology, botany, and things like this. I needed a place to work at home.
Yes, and Mr. Clayton, sir, you said that you wanted a place that's quiet.
Yes.
And we showed him, Phil, we had a beautiful home in our Magnolia phase.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw that, and my wife and I loved it very much. It's a beautiful home. It's got 5 acres, and it is a place that is quiet. It is far removed from a lot of traffic, and it's a place that was in a cul-de-sac as well. I don't have any children that live at home. My wife and I have grandchildren, though.
And you wanted a safe street, and all of our streets are safe, but the cul-de-sac was what your wife had requested.
Yes, my wife is Cheryl, Phil, and she had asked about a cul-de-sac or a street where there's no through access so that when the children go out on the street, you understand?
No, I absolutely understand.
And so we saw a beautiful home there. Now, I did not hear what my wife, Cheryl, had heard. She said that you had used this y'all quite a bit.
Yeah, this is Steve Dooley.
Yes, sir. Now, I talked to Mrs. Dooley, and I found you, Mrs. Dooley, to be a very charming lady, and I thought you were well-spoken. I appreciate the help that you gave us.
I appreciate that very much, sir.
My wife, of course, had an issue. But you, Mr. Dooley, if you forgive me, sir, I don't think, you know, I don't want to talk to you, sir.
Welcome.
Because I don't think you have a lot to say, sir.
Well, I just thought to talk to my wife.
Because I don't think you've got a lot to say. If you don't mind, I would rather talk to Mrs. Dooley.
I appreciate you calling in, sir, and talking to us about this. If I may. When Mrs. Dooley began using this term, y'all, and especially at the end there when she said, my bad, and it's coo-gee, did you hear any of that?
I heard that at the end. When we were there in your office, Mrs. Dooley, I heard my wife take exception at that time.
She said, you can give it a rest.
Yes, I heard my wife, Cheryl, say that you can, Mrs. Clayton, say, you can give it a rest now. And I said, what is she saying? She said, she's using y'all. I said, well, look, you know, and I asked you that time, you're from the South.
Yeah, and I told you I wasn't. I'm from California.
Right, but that was it. And as we were driving home, I said to my wife, what did she say? And my wife said that you would use the term y'all and that you had also used this, it's Coo-G, and a few other things. And I said, I did not find anything necessarily wrong with any of that.
Exactly, exactly. And I was trying to say that to her. I was trying to explain it to the sister, you know.
Okay, now right there, that I take exception to what you did just then, you see.
Well, instead, if don't do that.
Yeah, Mr. Dooley, if you wouldn't mind, I don't want to talk to you at all, sir.
All right, Mr. Dooley, you are kind of in the background.
Yeah, but I got a thing to say.
What did you say you take exception to?
What you had just said there, ma'am. You said that, you know, the sister. The sister is a term.
I am using a colloquialism.
Hold on for a minute. I want to explain something. When you say sister, that is a term reserved exclusively in this context for one black woman to another. Now, I'm not saying that if you were the two of you together, two women together, and there was some agreement between the two of you that, yes, indeed, you can refer to each other as sister, or you may use that as a salutation. I can understand that. But this was a comment you made just now to a third party, myself.
Can you wrap this up? Because you take an awfully long time.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Black people.
I said I don't want to talk to this man, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, Mr. Dooley, would you please not interrupt?
I got every right in the world.
Why can't my husband say something?
I don't want to talk to him, ma'am, because he's an idiot. And,
I think that is absolute...
Hey, you call me an idiot. I'll say things that I got the Constitution right.
That's exactly what he was doing on Saturday when we came to see your beautiful community. And again, I want to say it's a very lovely community. But that man was babbling on like that, and it took every ounce of willpower that I had not to tell him to shut his mouth right then and there.
I don't understand why you have to be like that. We treated you with great respect. We talked to your. I tried to talk to your wife in a way.
In a way that you thought she'd understand. I don't take exception to a lot of the things you said. My wife did, but right then when you said the sister, right then and there, see, that tears it for me. And
up to that point, you were okay. And
all right, hold on. I want to ask a question here, if I could. Professor Clayton.
Yes, sir.
So her saying it's Coo-G, and...
I did not hear that. I did not hear that.
Would that have been cool had you heard it?
Well, right, like then you just said, would that have been cool? See, so you're using a term that was coined by the black counterculture, the black subculture, the hip jazz culture, and even before, you're a white man using that. So you understand, am I going to get upset with that? No, I'm not going to get upset with that, because it has found its way, it's found its way into the mainstream, into mainstream usage in America. When this young lady here said, the sister, now we're starting to talk about something that I don't like.
Well, what about...
Hold on. And when this man Dooley starts talking, now I'm going to get real upset. Because I don't want to hear that man talk.
Well, sir, you know, and while Mr. Dooley is interrupting, and I'm asking you again, Mr. Dooley, not to interrupt, he does have a right to be on the air.
I don't think he has the right to be on the air after what I heard my wife say to me that this man had said.
No, I can explain that.
Hold on for a minute.
What was said?
I can explain it.
No, you're not going to...
Hold on. I will conduct the interview here. What was said?
That man, this Mr. Dooley, had made a comment about my wife's posterior.
Don't talk about junk.
The junk in the trunk comment. It
might have been a junk in the trunk comment, but it came rapidly after this problem you had with Cheryl, my wife, and then this man says what he said. Now, you understand, Mr. Dooley, had I heard it, had I been there when it took place, that you might still be on your backside, sir. And
well, I don't feel I have the Constitution. I'm trying to be a compliment.
Steve was trying to be nice.
Whoa, let me interrupt here.
Phil, this is beyond you now. This is well beyond you. This is between Mr. and Mrs. Clayton and Mr. and Mrs. Dooley. And
yourself and Mr. and Mrs. Dooley. That is who you are. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, wait. I have to moderate.
No, this is beyond you. Professor Clayton, I think it's very unfair for you to say that my husband was being rude. He made a comment about your wife's posterior. because it was a very evident posterior. It is not one that you're going to miss.
How dare you bring that up, not only while we were looking at the homes in your so-called community, but now you bring this up on this radio program.
Let's try to pay a couple on the junk.
And don't use that term junk about my wife, whether you're talking a posterior or you're talking about something that we leave in a can on the street.
And that's what Steve, and I had even said, I said, look at that. Didn't you hear what I said? I said, look at that can. Who would leave that on the street? And
what were you talking about when you said that?
I was talking about your wife's posterior. And
this is what I'm saying. So, all right, Ms. Dooley, I spent the last, I don't know how many minutes, defending you and saying that your comments were nowhere near as offensive to me as they were to my wife. Now I find out that you said about my wife's posterior, that's a can I wouldn't leave on the street. See what I'm saying? And I'd ask you again to shut your mouth.
All right, I have to take some control over this interview, if you don't mind. And I'm going to have to say right now.
Phil, I said to you, and I'm going to say it again, you have no right being
I got every right to be in the middle of this conversation. I'm going to say to you, Mrs. Dooley, and I'm going to say to you, Mr. Dooley.
Oh, here you go. You got to take the black guy's side.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen.
Oh, is that right? Well, let me just say something here, okay? Whether or not you predicted it, you're out of line. The two of you are out of line with that junk in the trunk, can on the street, and whatever it is that you're saying. What is that about? And I'm going to ask you something, Mr. Dooley.
Mr. Henry, you can talk like a guy. You don't have to go,
what is that about? I know, Steve. I heard that.
No.
What is that about?
What?
Mr. Henry sounds like he's speaking normally to me. Mr. Dooley, you're the one that sounds like you've got something in your mouth, if you know what I mean. And
Oh, my God.
You just sound like, you know what you just sound like? You just sound like a punk his first night in. You just went, I just heard that.
You do it pretty good, too.
Will you just be quiet for a moment, please, folks? All right, I got to take a break. How do you like that? And then, after the whole y'all and it cool and it coo and my bad G comes junk in the trunk and don't leave that can on the street. So suddenly this has become something far more complex and much more insulting and far more inappropriate than y'all. So maybe the question is, where do you draw the line? 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, coming right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Thanks for the warning.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Except, no, I told him that. 877-876-7445.
And that's what I said to that lady. I tell you now, I'm not going to sit still for that.
I understand, and you're just finding this out now?
I found this out from my wife, that this man, this Dooley, that's why I said what I said at the very beginning.
I had said that you're not going to leave a can like that on the street.
I didn't hear that at all, and it might have been that I thought it was just two ladies talking. But when this Dooley said it, I can tell you, sir, had I heard it, you'd still be picking yourself up off the ground.
I didn't mean nothing by it. I'm trying to do a thing right.
I can't understand a word you say. You sound like a babbling idiot to me, sir. Do you know what I mean by that? A babbling fool. In other words, you open your mouth, but the only thing that comes out is a lot of dribble and nonsense. And I'm a teacher. Do you know what nonsense is, sir?
Yeah, I think so.
Nonsense means no sense. It does not even rise to the level of being right or wrong. It's just nonsense. And that would be the grade I would give you, sir, on your babbling and blathering that you have done here. And that junk in the trunk, I would give you an F.
I didn't say junk in the trunk. My wife did.
Is that a man going to start crying?
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Go to a phone call here. We have Moultrie on the line. Moultrie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with the Dooleys and Professor Clayton.
How are you?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I would like to speak to this issue that is being discussed now, and I would like to speak to Mr. and Mrs. Dooley about it. This is what I have to say. Hello?
Yes, this is Bobby Dooley. Can I help you? Yes.
Yeah, I'm speaking about the issue where the y'all was used to these
two gentlemen.
I mean, Yes, sir. Now, it is my opinion that when you're running a business in the public, dealing with the public, you use courtesy and you show professionalism. You shouldn't, in my opinion, reach out to try to match the colloquial terms that you think is used by a certain ethnic group. If you stay on course and use professionalism, you will never go into any trouble.
What about Biden? He did it, and no one's yelling at him. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Vice President Biden did it.
What about Vice President Biden? He did it, and no one yelled at him.
Well, I'm not upholding him in doing it. See, this is where people go wrong. You see your professionalism, and then you don't have to copy other people. The vice president, that is not always right. No one is always right, and we use make mistakes, and we sometimes do things intentionally. You're following somebody that you may know wrong, and you're still doing it. It's not right.
Very good series of comments. Professor Clayton, you want to weigh in?
I'd like to follow up with what the gentleman just said. It's one thing to say y'all or whatever it is you wanted to say. I also resent very much trying to communicate on this level the gentleman's talking about, on this sort of subcultural or racial level or however you want to call it, by commenting on my wife's posterior. Now, I found that to be all wrong. And let me ask this gentleman. Yes, sir. Let me ask you, Moultrie. Is that your name, sir?
That's correct.
Yes, sir. Sir, I'm a professor of urban studies as well as African American studies. I also do botany and I do some ornithology. I'm working on my master's degree. And I also had a dentistry interest. Now, I'd like to ask you, do you have a lateral lisp, sir?
Do I have what?
A lateral lisp. In other words, when you talk, your back molars, do they touch? Because it sounds like this. You know what I mean by that sound when people go like this?
What are you talking about?
I noticed something in this gentleman's speech, that's all.
Whatever. I mean, we're not talking about...
I don't follow exactly what you mean. I don't know what I do or not.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's
I apologize. I apologize. It's an area of study for me, but let me just move past that and say this. There's a home that we were interested in. This lady showed us the home. Now, I want quiet. I want peace. I want a place where I can work. I don't want a lot of kids running around, and I don't want a lot of people prying and snooping. It has a basement where I can set up my laboratory, and I can do my work there. Now, this lady says to me, you can do your thing, you know, just like she's talking about. It's your thing, like that one song by Sly and the Family Stone. So that's what I don't like.
What's wrong with me saying you can do your thing?
Could I cut you off for a minute, please?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I understand all of that. I listened to the entire conversation. And I do believe is I don't care how good of intention that was meant. If you stay on your professionalism, you want to look at a home. It was their duty, in my opinion, to show you and take you around and show you everything. When they stepped out of bounds, they stepped out of bounds by trying to match some colloquial terms that they felt was being used by a certain ethnic group. Now, also, he has no business commenting about your wife's posterior. And that's my feeling.
Exactly.
That's all
exactly
I have to say about that.
I think they're wrong in doing
that because they didn't show any professionalism.
Well, can I say I think it's unusual, my understanding is you're white. Is that right, sir? For you to say
I beg your pardon?
Are you white? You're white, right?
White? So, you mean in color,
aren't you white?
Race? You asking
I'm asking
my
you.
Race?
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm assuming you're white.
Well, why would that make a difference? But I can let you know why.
I'm assuming you're white because I found it. Well, you sound like you're white, and you're taking the side of the black person. I don't know. I shouldn't.
What does that
mean? No. Let me answer you, miss. The whole thing is, regardless of whether I'm white or wrong, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with what I feel to be right and wrong and respect for others. Whom you are dealing with. But since you asked the question, I am a black American.
No.
No, that's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Well, he sounds white.
Yeah.
Well, you see, when you're saying just because of the sound, it doesn't necessarily mean that what you sound like is the way I am. Now,
I thought you were white, too.
How do you tell the difference?
Well, the professor pointed out that you have a lateral lisp. That's something that only generally whites have, which means...
Just one second. I'm sorry about cutting you off. But I think you are trying to draw your conclusion based on my speech. Well, how do you feel about it? Never mind what the gentleman feels.
Well, I am drawing my conclusion by the fact that you...
Well, you sound educated.
Yeah, you sound educated.
Okay, so right there, you know... Moultrie...
I'm educated, too.
...in all color.
Exactly. But I'm surprised, too, because I thought he was white, and I thought he was white as well, taking my side, and it turns out that he doesn't take my side because he's white. He's black, so no wonder he took my side, so I'm disappointed, too.
We'll be right back, I think. Phil Henry Show. Next hour, we got Chris Norton with us. Next hour on the Phil Henry Show, subject of our podcast today. Woo!
Is that it? Don't I get more time to rebut the gentleman that...
Phil Henry.
You're right, Steve.
Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. 877-876-Phil. Also at philhenryshow.com is live streaming video of our show. We have a video cast every night from the El Pacifico. You'll know it's from the El Pacifico because there's the Pacific Ocean behind me. And
the El Pacifico, that's Spanish for the Pacific.
Yes, and so when we say we're from the El Pacifico, I actually had some anal, you know, grammar jockey, some grammar Nazi saying that, doesn't that mean the? And I went, yeah, it does, but then it's gringo Spanish, so, you know, what do you want from me? I think that grammar Nazi stuff only goes so far. Y'all understand? All right, so welcome back. You can get a backstage pass and watch a live streaming video of our show. You can also... while you're there, download our recent podcast, episode 31, and it's going to be featuring a gentleman that we have on as our guest this hour, episode 31 with Chris Norton on the free Phil Henry podcast. Hit the podcast banner there at philhenryshow.com and get yourself a big, fat, rounded handful of that. Coming up this weekend, we have the Milwaukee Lions in their very first preseason game. The radio cast will be carried on Phil TV in HD. It'll be Jack Gagner and Brett Morrison from the Beaver Dome in Salt Lake City, the Lions and the Utah Flaming Cavalry. We are giving away one free month of a backstage pass if your name is selected from the hashtaggers at Twitter. Just hashtag BSP at twitter.com/Phil Henry Show. And or go to our fan page at facebook.com/Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, and like the page. And if we draw your name, you win one solid year of a BSP. For you backstage passers, for you BSPers, we are assembling our best of Bobby Dooley. It'll be a download available to all for purchase, but it will be assembled, it will be voted on, it will be culled, it will be curated, if you will, by our BSPers. So make sure you get your votes in. Use the BSP email on the homepage, backstage pass people, and vote for the best Bobby Dooley bits of all time, and it will be a download available to all for purchase in our shop. What else? What am I missing?
You got to get a backstage pass.
Yeah, get a backstage pass. All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Chris Norton joins us. Chris is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. Also, an aspiring filmmaker and actor. He's joining us from Las Vegas here this evening as we talk about his appearance on our podcast today. Your website, Chris, and other news. You really created a little bit of a furor when you said that women your own age should be reminded of guys their own age, guys like you, as opposed to going after the older, wealthy guy, you know.
That's what I said when I was on your program before, yes, sir.
Okay, and you created quite a stir among a lot of people because you were dissing the older guys and, you know, using terms like wrinkle boy and so on and so forth.
I did, Mr. Henry. I mean, I you know, it was not because I wanted to, you know, I wasn't trying to defend anybody or nothing, but, you know, one of the things I think needs to be said is that, you know, there's that, you know, there's a lot of men who are older and they probably have a lot of money, and that probably gets the women to be interested in them. But the fact is, when it comes to just pure, you know, the sensual energy that you can give to a lady, which is what, you know, I have to offer, and I know that probably a lot of, you know, other men my age would say the same thing. You know, I would say that. You know, that's better.
Yeah, but you were calling older guys wrinkle boy.
Well, you know, I mean, look, you know, the website, which is what I was going to talk about, sexuality.com.
It's called Sexuality?
Yes, sir. And
all right, sexuality.com?
Yes, sir. And the website is really devoted to me, and it's devoted to what I have as a representation of a young man. In terms of sexual energy, in terms of my youth, in terms of the you know, how hot, or if you want to say how hot, or the handsomeness of a guy my age. So it's more about the sexuality and not about what a lot of women may be tempted by, which is money and power and that. And I'm not saying that older guys don't have money and they don't have, you know, a lot of, I guess, power or whatever. But it's not based on sex, you know.
What about the fact that older guys now have this thing called Viagra, you know?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Viagra and about Cialis and a lot of these sex aids, and that's what I call it too. It's more like a sex aid because, you know, I think that has been unfairly exploited by older guys. You know, if you're a woman and you have a choice between being with a dude who is young and has pure sex, or a dude who is pill, you know, it's pill driven, what would you rather be? And my feeling is, my answer is, the women would rather be with me. But I don't think that we're putting it out there enough. I don't think we're saying to women, you know, do you want to be with a wrinkled man, or do you want to, you know?
Well, there you go with this wrinkle man thing. You talk about older guys?
Yes, sir. I mean, I don't mean any, I'm sorry, Mr. I don't mean any disrespect or anything.
Well, I mean, you're laying it on, as the man said, you're laying it on pretty thick, though, man. You may not mean it, but you're giving it real good. You know, you're saying,
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this. I mean, no disrespect. I mean, an older guy, if he's got money, that's great. But if you're a young woman, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, but did you want to have a man who is has to take a pill, or do you want to have a good raw sex? You know, and I think that it's unfair I think the Viagra is something that needs to be pointed out, is that, you know, you can't just say that I'm I have a sexual energy, you have to take a pill. I don't have to take a pill. Okay.
Well, what difference does it make if the guy's got to take a pill or not?
I just think that women should. I think women need to know it up front. I think they should be told that they have taken they popped one, and you know, we call it a double P, which is pop one to pop one. I mean, that's been a long-standing joke, you know, among guys my age, that older guys have to pop one to pop one. And
pop one to pop, meaning you take a pill to get an erection.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I think the women are being left in the dark about it. So if you are interested in pure, raw sexual energy and the rawness of the sex, and you don't want a dude that's a double P, then you have to, opt for me. And I just think women need to be told.
I don't know how you would go about, Chris, and it's something you and I discussed. How do you go about making sure that men tell women up front that they've taken a Viagra, or that they've taken a Cialis, or whatever it is they're taking? How do you can't, you're not going to legislate that.
No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that there needs to be in our society basic courtesy, and I think there needs to be the courtesy of saying to a woman, I am pure raw sex, or I am not raw, I am not, you know, I'm not the raw sex, I had to power it with a pill. I had to double P it or triple P it.
What is triple P?
Well, that's power with a pill or pop pill. If you power with a pill, it's a triple P. I mean, it's the same thing.
These are slangs that I've not even heard before. Is this common usage?
It is among, if you're talking to people that I know, because I hung around, and yeah, I'm a little bit different. I do hang around adult film, so I talk to a lot of adult film actors, you know, guys who do that, you know, for having sex, you know, for a living, you know. And that's kind of the people I hang around with.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Norton, our number 877-876-7445. And on his website, by the way, what does he have, bud?
Got pictures of himself in a bathing suit and coming in and out of the shower, too.
All right, he's talking about his website and his own sort of presentation as a, if you will, a gigolo, is what it looks like to me. And the dishonesty of older guys and their Viagra as opposed to the honesty of younger guys and their pure, raw sex. 877-877, I think probably the only people that could comment on this intelligently would be women. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. He's also on our podcast this week. So check out the free Phil Hendry podcast at philhendryradio.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back. Here's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with us is Chris Norton from his website, sexuality.com. That's the name of it, Chris?
Yes, sir. Sexuality in the modern age was the other name, but people may still be getting that one.
What was it called?
The original name of my website was Sexuality in the Modern Age.
And Sexuality in the Modern Age?
Yes, sir. And I'm not sure if that has been if I don't know what they call it, but if it's a swish over or not.
Okay, good enough. 877-876-7445. So essentially, your website, I'm looking at it right now. There's a picture of you here, and we go into this in the podcast. There's a picture of you here coming out of the shower.
Yeah, that was a picture that was taken of me by my manager, Lance Germain. It shows me as I'm looking back over my shoulder. I'm actually getting into the shower, I think, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I thought you're because you look like you're wet.
Yeah, but I'm actually getting into the shower.
All right. So, had you already taken a shower?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the pictures of me getting into a shower. I had already showered, yes, sir. But I wanted the picture of me getting into the shower, so I was still wet. So, but the illusion is,
the illusion is you're getting in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't it look like that?
Yeah, it looks like it, except you're wet. So I
I think you're what do you call it? You're nitpicking a little bit. You know, you're mixing apples and oranges.
How am I mixing apples and oranges?
You're saying that I'm getting into the, I'm getting out, and I'm not. I'm getting in. I'm stepping in.
Yeah, but you're wet is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that, but that was a mistake. And anyway, so the next picture, are you going to move on to the next picture, or you want to beat that one into the ground?
And, you know, hold on, Mr. Norton. I'm not trying to embarrass you, sir.
Well, no, I know you're not, sir, but I mean...
Honestly, the picture looked like... I asked you the question, honestly. I'm not trying to beat anything into the ground, but it looked like you were getting out of the shower, you know?
Yeah, I know, because I'm wet, and you're still talking about it. Okay.
Well, all right. I that's what I do on the show. You know, we critique things.
Well, I appreciate that but you already did. I don't know how much more you want to. I mean, I made a mistake. Well, I guess we could go ahead and spend the money and take the session again. You know, but I already did a photo session with Lance Germain.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Next picture here. This is one of you from the waist down. All I see here is your backside in a pair of, it looks like they might be workout. Is it underwear?
No, it's a bathing suit.
Okay, it's a pretty, that's a bathing suit.
Yeah.
All right. It looked to me like it was a jock strap.
No, it's not a jock strap. It's a bathing suit. I mean, again, Mr. Henry, if you don't want to do this interview.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Hold the phone here, man. Why do you think what I'm saying, why do you think I'm intentionally subverting you, sir? I'm looking at pictures that don't look like what they supposedly are.
What does it say under it? Doesn't it say Chris in a bathing suit?
No, it does not.
It doesn't?
No.
Hey, Lance. Why doesn't it, hold on, Lance Germain's my manager. Why doesn't it say Lance Germain's my manager, Mr. Henry?
Okay.
Why doesn't it say bathing suit?
Because I didn't think it needed it.
What?
Because I didn't think it needed it.
Okay, and why did you have me wet?
Because I thought it looked good.
God. I mean, Lance, if you're going to be my manager.
I like that shirt.
All right, Mr. Ray, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. It was Lance Germain should have put, this is Chris, in a bathing suit. Then he should have put Chris getting in a shower. That way you would have known.
Okay, but you're still wet.
I know I'm still wet, but he says I'm wet.
I know, but it looked good.
All right. Are you still going to have dinner with your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's your manager.
Yeah, he's still hanging around. It's well after.
Okay.
So, Chris, the question that I have now for you is, so you have this website. What are you hoping is going to be?
Hold on for a minute. What's the matter now?
Well, I don't have kids to come.
Is that your?
Yeah, it's my manager.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay, honey.
Don't call me honey. What do you call me honey for?
No, honey.
Guys, he's leaving now, Mr. Harry. He's going to go see his girlfriend. And
his girlfriend, okay.
He says he's got a girlfriend. He's going to go visit.
He just called you honey.
Well, it's just the way it is. I mean, I don't know. So,
well, let me take some phone calls here, Chris.
What are we going to take a phone call for? I haven't said anything.
Well, yeah, you have. You've said you got a website, and you got pictures of your rear end, and you got... You know, I don't know. I'm wondering what the point of the website is beyond showing women how hot you are and that they ought to be dating guys their own age and that older guys take Viagra and younger guys don't.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. 877, I'm sorry, but...
What's the whole thing with Lance, too? What were you talking about that for?
Because he doesn't sound like he's got a girlfriend. He sounds like he may be gay.
What? You talk about...
That's what it sounded like to me. Leaving the house, calling you honey?
What are you talking about?
Leaving the house, calling you honey. What do you call that?
He's peculiar. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he's peculiar, but that's peculiar talk for a guy who's on his way to see his girlfriend. Unless, of course, his girlfriend's the same gender.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to go into anything more than what I've gone into, all right? Now, I'm going to get on the phone a caller, all right?
Yeah, whatever.
No, not whatever. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I mean, I think that you owe me, Lance Germain, and Norton's Clothes, and all of our associated businesses a very big apology, you know?
I'm not going to apologize to you for anything, okay?
Well, you're disrespecting what I've done on my website. You've also... you've essentially basically said that Lance Germain is gay, and...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that could be you could be sued.
No, I could not be sued. No, I could not be sued for that. No, because that's not it's legal status. How do you sue somebody for saying that someone is of legal status? You're a woman. You're going to sue me for calling you a woman?
Well, I'm not a woman.
Right, you're not a woman. But being a woman is not illegal.
Well, it's...
All right, let's take a phone call here. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with Chris Norton here from Norton Explodes Entertainment and his website, sexualityinthemodernage.com. Dean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. I'm listening to your conversation right now with Mr. Is it Norton?
Yeah, it's Chris Norton.
Well, it's great to talk to you, and Mr. Norton, I wanted to jump on here with Phil, and I wanted to tell everyone that my new book is out, Soft as a Feather, and I hope it is one that can compete with the Wally Lamb series, She's Come Undone, and the other one, I Know This Much Is True. I'm hoping...
Could I jump in and ask a question right now, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
What? I mean, he's interviewing me.
I know he's interviewing you, but I wanted to just, Phil, you and I have talked before.
I know you're working on your book, but I am interviewing Mr. Norton.
All right, well, that's fine. Just so you know, my book is called Soft as a Feather, Light as a Cucumber, something like that. But I do want it to be in competition with, and hopefully the Wally Lamb series is going
to... All right, Chris? Okay, 877-876-7445. So we were talking about sexuality in the modern age, your website, and the photographs of you. We can get off of Lance Germain if you want.
Yeah, that'd be very nice, because I don't think it's fair of you to be talk about him like that.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you had him on the air, and he was saying yes and goodnight, honey, and all that.
No, I mean, if you got a... Yeah, I mean, he's about... I don't see it. He's about as macho a guy as... In fact, here he is right now, you know. Hey, come here for a minute, Lance. Why are you here?
She's not home.
Your girlfriend's not home?
Yeah, huh.
Well, Mr.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton, he's on our podcast this week at Phil Henry, at the Free Phil Henry podcast at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Stick around. Thank you.
What do you want? I don't know.
Phil Henry.
Phil, Chris Norton on the line with us from Las Vegas tonight. Are you on vacation there, Chris?
I'm here with a group of other professionals from the adult film business, and there was a trade show, Mr. Henry, at the Las Vegas Convention Center. There's also one that was over at Hilton, and we were over there talking with some of the distributors, and now we're just kind of kicking back. And
are you an adult film actor?
I've dabbled, and I have also dabbled in filmmaking. But my main area right now of interest is sexuality, and sort of my brand. You know, if you know about brand, Mr. Henry. You know about brand, Mr. Henry.
About brands? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, my brand is. The Cess, and Cess of my brand is Cess, the Cess I've had, okay, and so...
The sex you've had.
Yes, sir, yeah, and so, and it's not because I want to be a gigolo, I heard what you said, and that's not true. My brand is the Cess I've had, and being attractive to women so that they don't do what they usually do, which is opt for an old guy... An old man with money who has to have something installed or take a handful of pills to be sessual, you know, or at least to have a sessual performance. And, you know.
All right. So there's an alternative out there, ladies, to your rich older boyfriend who has to take Viagra. It's a young guy like you.
Yes, exactly. And, but I also hasten to add, Mr. Henry, I don't know that there's anyone like me. I mean, we're all original. You know, we're all. I'm a professional in terms of Cess. I mean, I am aspiring to be a professional of a Cess. You know, Cess, successful professional. I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine. Up until then, you were doing fine.
Okay. Did I blow it? Or?
No, you just were like stuttering a little bit. Go ahead. You're fine.
So you heard that? Did they hear it?
Did who? Did the audience?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but let's just move past it. That's what you do in radio.
Okay. All right. So I have been.
Yeah, we're talking here, Chris. You're saying that you are a professional.
I'm not a gigolo. I am a professional Cess. I'm a professional Cess actor, and so.
You're an aspiring adult film actor, and so you're not a whore. You're not a gigolo. But you are different from most guys.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
But you want the women to know that the young men are preferable to older guys. And that's great, and I wish you the best of luck with your website. I'm not exactly sure. I don't really know that you're striking a chord there, you know. I just don't. Let's go to our phones, 877-876-7445. Now, do you have any problem with talking to a journalist? I mean, I know I am, sort of, but...
Is it on TV or something?
No, right now.
No, I mean, I'm fine.
Okay, let's go. Margaret Gray is on the line from Santa Monica. Margaret, have you been listening to the interview?
Phil, yes, I have, and it's been very, very interesting. And I usually do weigh in at this point on your program with Margaret's do's and don'ts. And, of course, I do have a little bit told me. And I think on Friday nights I also do Margaret's tips for the weekend. But I really had to weigh in tonight. Even though it is a Thursday night and it's generally reserved for Margaret goes here, but don't you do that yourself. Although I think this could qualify for Margaret goes here, but don't you go there yourself. This young man...
Wait. What is that? What are you saying?
What is that? Because I don't want to be a part... You know, I have my copyright, my brand protected.
Don't worry, sir. Your brand and your copyright is protected. What are you asking, Phil?
What is that?
What is what?
What is the thing that you're doing here? What is the segment?
It's the segment I do every Thursday night on your program, which is Margaret's Going There, But Don't You Try It.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that there was such a segment.
Well, that's very embarrassing. I'm on, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that I come on the Phil Henry Show regularly on Thursdays for a segment called Margaret Goes There. Is it your purpose in life, Mr. Henry, to destroy me all at once? Or do you want to do it gradually over time?
Margaret, I'm not trying to destroy you.
What's going on? What's...
Excuse me. Would you excuse us for a moment, Mr. Norton?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about... You're a woman, right?
Yes, I am.
Right. I mean, but don't you want to talk to me, or...
I can barely make out what you're saying. I want to talk to Mr. Henry. Hold on for a minute.
I have a sinus condition.
Hold on, Chris. What?
Well, what is this, I don't know this segment called Margaret Goes There, But Don't You Don't? We've been doing it every Thursday night.
I don't know the segment. I don't recall doing the segment.
Let me, Frank, where do I?
It's on the Poutte go-around.
Oh, God almighty, I am so sorry, Phil. I owe you an apology.
It's on another show, huh?
Yes, it's on the Chris Poutte go-around. And that is enough. I'm sorry, Phil.
Way to get the plug-in for another guy's show.
Well, no, it's a music show, Phil. It's not a talk show like yours. Don't worry about it. The Chris Poutte go-around, right, Frank?
Chris Poutte go-around, Simi Valley.
It's the Chris Poutte go-around in Simi Valley.
Yeah, WKK, WANK or something.
It's a WANK. No, it isn't. That's a West Coast station.
K-R-A-N-K.
It's on Crank. Crank Radio?
I don't know any of these stations you're talking about. Crank?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they were called Crank, and someone took those call letters and said something along the lines of, you know, they had it was a billboard campaign, and someone had spray-painted Yank Your over the calls, and so I think they must have changed it, Frank.
No, I'm
got to talk to Bob Beattie, who's the owner.
Yeah, they must have changed it.
All right, now that we've burned up all that time talking about that and plugging another guy's show and plugging another radio station and plugging a, you know, a company and their ad campaign.
Oh, my God, Phil, relax, will you?
No, I agree with Mr. Henry. I think...
I'm not talking to you, whoever you are, Norton. All right?
My name's Chris Norton. I mean...
I'm not talking to you. Why are you lighting into me?
Ms. Gray, hold on for a minute.
Me. Yeah? Yeah?
Mr. Norton, would you excuse us for a moment?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay.
Margaret?
Yes?
I've had about all I'm going to take from you coming on my show.
Oh, listen, he's standing up now. The media guy's standing up.
Shut up.
Yes?
I've had about all I'm going to take from you coming on my show, reading me the riot act, telling me how I'm wrong, telling me about this, telling me about that, getting upset, not answering questions, changing the subject, making an issue out of things that shouldn't be made an issue out of, making a big deal out of nothing, being petty as hell. This happens every single time you're on the show, and I don't want it to happen anymore, or I'm not going to have you on the air anymore.
And what would you say if my husband put in a call to your business partner, David G. Hall?
You're making him cry, Bill.
And you with your gender confusion, Frank.
What?
You with your gender confusion.
What are you getting at?
I'm not getting at anything. I'm telling you right out, right straight. You don't know the difference between he and she in a sentence because you need some kind of antibiotic or a biochemical treatment to your brain.
Are you listening to her? Well, I don't know why you ever went on her show in the first place.
Give me the phone. How dare you make fun of my husband's mental condition?
I want to tell you something right now. She needs to have her head examined, all right?
Who's that?
Your husband, Frank.
She?
I mean he.
He needs to have it. Guess who needs their head examined? Hey, Frank, you ought to hear. He, she, I don't even know what it is.
What'd she say now?
She said, I mean, he said.
I'm hanging up on both of them.
Don't you dare, Henry, or you'll never see.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, I can't every week, you know, something.
I got to tell you something, man. I'm getting a lot of complaints, though.
About what?
About you hanging up on people. You know, I'm talking about you hanging up on people, hanging up on people, hanging up on people. You know, you got to complete it and finish it out and clean it up, you know.
Yeah, you got to get it cleaned out.
What language are you guys speaking now? And what happened to Chris Norton?
Still on hold.
Let me talk to him. Compared to those two nuts, he's a breath of fresh air. Would you hang up on those people? Thank you. Let me get Mr. Norton back up on the line so we can at least finish out. All right, Chris, Chris, is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got to congratulate you. You were far more responsive and a much easier interview tonight than those two idiots. I apologize for putting you on hold.
Well, no, that's okay, Mr. Henry. I'm here. I'm just playing blackjack, you know, and I also play some keno.
Good for you. That's very good.
And then when I'm done, I'm probably going to go over and play some video poker or something like that, you know. But tomorrow we're going to be making a very interesting series of films, and I will have stills from it on sexuality. And it's kind of a very interesting, different take. We're going to be going down the street, and we're going to be asking people if they want to, you know, have, you know, we're going to be asking young guys, hey, isn't she hot? Because we're going to have this girl, I mean, I say girl in quotes, Jackie, that's going to be with us, right?
Okay.
And anyway, and that, by the way, I'm not saying her name is Jackie to make fun of any real girls that are named Jackie, okay?
I understand. What about Jackie?
Well, Jackie's a he-she.
A transsexual.
Yes, sir. And so what happens is we ask these dudes, hey, dude, you know, check it out. You want to kind of get, you know, jump it? You want to climb it and jump it? And they're all like, yeah, you know. So then we go up and go, okay, we got a camera. And then they find out, you know, when it strips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of adult film that you are...
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's God, you know, people are paying top dollar for that.
Top dollar, huh?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Mr. Henry. You'd be surprised, Mr. Henry.
Well, good luck, buddy. So what do you call him that one?
Well, I mean, it's, I don't know yet. I mean, we're going to call it Tran Nation or Tranny Nation. I don't know what it's going to be called. We'll probably call it something like Surprise. You know, you're on Tranded Camera, something like that.
Tranded.
That's a pretty good idea, Mr. Norton.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Surprise, you're on Tranded Camera. Good luck, man.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, it's a living.
Good for you. No, it's a living. I got to take a break, though, okay?
You don't want to talk about Tran Camera?
No, I do not want to talk about Tran... What, bud?
Got that Marilyn Donnelly on the phone.
Why don't you hang on, man? You can talk to a pre-surgical...
I have talked enough of them, man. We were auditioning actresses all last week.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We got rid of Margaret and her stupid husband and her entire, what a psycho couple. That's all I got to say. Next hour is our news and information hour at our website, philhenryshow.com, and our podcast at philhenryshow.com. Hit our podcast banner. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I mean, hello? Hello? Am I still on? Am I going to...
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton on the line with us here as we talk about his website, sexuality.com, about your plans for your website, selling the young, sexy man as the alternative to the older guy. I don't think you guys have ever really had any serious competition from older guys.
I can tell you, Mr. Henry, and I say, you know, I never have had none, but a lot of guys I know have had it because a lot of young women are going to lay it on the line for a dude what has money. Now, I've never had no woman, you know, leave me for that, but I'm different. That's what I say. You know, I work in adult film. I do have a higher level. I probably register higher on a Cess energy scale than most dudes do, you know. And
you register higher on the what?
I mean, I think I probably would register higher on a Cess energy or on a Cess scale, you know.
What scale is that? I mean, they don't...
No, I'm just saying if they had one, you know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying so.
So, in other words, you are atypical. All right, So, but my point is that I don't think you've ever had any real serious competition. Why would you even need to sell that? You know,
because women are, you know, I mean, it's bad for me to say it, but
say it.
Women are whores. And
oh God.
Well, you said say it.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they'll spray. Well, I better not.
They go and have sex for money.
Yes, sir. I mean,
would you?
No, I never would.
What do you do now?
I am a filmmaker.
Uh-huh. Are you having sex for money or aren't you?
I'm a filmmaker.
You're a filmmaker. Didn't you just say that you're making movies right now, one called Tranded Camera, where you've got transsexuals having sex with regular guys? Are you one of the guys?
I am, yeah. First of all, you have to understand something, Mr. Henry. Having sex with a trans... It's the same as having sex with a girl, okay? Other than the fact that she's also there's another. It's got more equipment. That's all.
Uh-huh. All right. Well.
No, Mr. Henry. It don't make me gay. You're pumping a different, you know, a guy. I mean, not a guy, but you're pumping on a guy, or you're pumping on a well, is what I mean. Because I'm not pumping. It's not a guy. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever you say, man.
No.
Now, hold on. I got to get on the line here. Marilyn Donnelly, who is a transsexual pre-surgical, as you say, Marilyn. When are you having your surgery?
Good evening, Phil. Yes, I'm having that in November.
November, okay.
My question for Mr. Norton is the following, and Mr. Henry anticipated it. I am a transsexual, although I am scheduled for surgery. My question is, would you have a sexual, or as you call it, a sexual liaison with me?
It would depend, Marilyn, if you qualified for Norton's Blows.
I'm sorry if I qualified for what?
If you qualified for the Norton Splode film series, all of these films are made by Norton Splode.
I don't understand Norton Splode. What is that?
Norton Explodes?
Yeah.
Well, then, if you could articulate better, because I don't know. All I heard was Norton Splode.
Norton, what?
It sounds like you're saying that, Chris.
All right, I'm sorry. It's Norton Splode.
Norton Explode, okay.
Oh, I said.
Norton Explodes, we understand.
All right, so what do you want? What do you want?
Well, I'm just wondering, would you hire me as an actress to be in one of your trended camera films?
Again, Merlin, I would have to have you come in so we could, you know, we could do a full, we could do just a full look, you know, get an inspection going. I don't know how much time you've got, but I'd have to order in. I'd have to put extra staff on,
I don't understand. Why would you have to put extra staff on?
Yeah, what do you need extra staff for?
She is a trans. You say you're trans? You're trans?
I am a pre-surgical transsexual, yes.
Okay. In order for us to qualify you for Norton Splode trended camera appearance, we would have to have you come in for a for a survey. And that would mean we'd have to bring in a surveyor team. We'd also have to bring in a medical team. And
wait, hold on.
I don't understand this.
Hold on for a minute, Chris. What are you doing, man? Why are you bringing in so many people? What do you need to do?
I thought this lady said she wanted to be on track camera.
Yes, I didn't say I wanted to. I just simply wanted to know if you would hire me. That's all I'm asking you.
Well, all right. I mean, I'd have to bring in...
What are you bringing in people for, man? How many people do you have to bring in to figure out whether someone qualifies to be in one of your films?
If Mr. Henry, this is not like a typical porn movie or a tall adult. It's a poorer movie. It's not just a porn movie. It's poorer. And
what is poorer?
I understand. It's part porn, part horror. So now I'm in a horror film.
No, I didn't know. No, I said it's plural, but that means it's also says. But if you are a trans and I got to figure out whether or not you would register, and first of all, I've got to get you registered through the poor for the trans, you know.
What?
You
get registered through what?
Yes. What is that?
It is something that I set up. It's called a trans registry, and that means if you're looking for transsexual actresses or adders or what you want to call them, you look in the transsexual registry, the Chris Norton trended camera registry, and you can find out whether or not they would qualify for a film. And
all right, forget about getting them qualified for your trended camera registry or whatever you call that. Why do you need a surveyor team? Look at this. We're up against the end of the hour.
Well, only because you want to do measurements. You've got to make sure structurally. I don't know why you're asking me all these questions.
Well, I think I understand. To you, Mr. Norton, people like me are nothing more than freaks. Well, I can assure you that if I ever meet up with you, I will beat your...
My what?
Never mind.
I'd like to see if you want to try beating my...
All right, thank you, and we'll see you next hour, the Phil Henry News and Information Hour.
I wasn't going to say the word you thought I was.
Phil Henry.
Yes, you were.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very weird first couple of hours, as usual, and we thank you for joining us. Our number here, 877-8767, it doesn't make any difference because this is our news and information hour. We throw the number out there just because we want it to become a part of seared into your neural pathway so that you'll never forget it. Welcome to our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman here along with Robert Leonard. We also have news to get through and other things. I want to remind you that online at philhenryshow.com is our website where we broadcast from the El Pacifico, and you can see it on our video cast every night, Phil TV in HD. You can watch us do the show. We also have a Backstage Pass membership. You get a BSP. You can watch it. You can listen to thousands of hours of archived radio, and I mean full shows, 3 hours worth, over a decade's worth. It's the largest collection of radio shows, a single radio show anywhere on the planet Earth. So what you basically have is one of the greatest radio shows that has ever been, and you get more of it than any other radio show out there, even crappy radio shows. You figure if a guy's got a show that sucks, he could put it all online and say, well, just the sheer volume of this, maybe I can get my money's worth charging some sort of a subscription rate. But he ain't even going to do that. Or you can take a guy who's got a really great show, and they still haven't put that much media online. We've got both. We've got a great show, and we've put all of the radio shows that we can possibly find over the last decade plus online for you. On top of that, we have our video archive. It's only a 5-day archive right now, but we are going to expand that. We have a full year of our Saturday night video casts that are available. That was our local Los Angeles show that we did on Saturday nights. Everybody can watch that. We also have a variety of other media that we've done over the years. We've got television pilots that we did over the years. We've got interviews that we've done over the years. We have our news feed as well as our comment section that is open only to our Backstage Pass members. Email access only for Backstage Pass members. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. So, in other words, what we offer is more than any other single radio show offers, period. And I don't give a damn if they're free. I don't care if they're giving away their website. They don't have what we got. So we do encourage you to take a part in our Backstage Pass membership. You're going to love it. Now, we are giving away a free year of BSP, as I mentioned, to anybody who, anyone whose name we draw. But you can register by going to twitter.com/PhilHenryShow, #BSP, or you can go to our fan page at Facebook. That's facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, and like the page. And that way you enter the running for a free 1 year of Backstage Pass. Coming up on Sunday, we have a rare weekend event as we get into football season. You're going to see more of this. We have the radio call from Jack I. Gagner as well as Brett Morrison of the Milwaukee Lions in their first preseason game at Utah Sunday, noon Pacific time. That's noon Pacific time. Okay, here is something that has been going on. We haven't really talked a lot about this. Robert Pattinson got a well-deserved respite today from the inquiring minds who would have him talk about Kristen Stewart, or at least have him address his possibly ex-girlfriend by asking him questions about his feelings and how he's doing. So when Pattinson said, "I was very close to killing myself or killing her," he wasn't talking about his ex-girlfriend or possibly ex-girlfriend Kristen Stewart. He was talking about Cosmopolis co-star Sarah Gadon, who, when they first met, asked him the always loaded question, "What did you do to prepare for this? You want to get tears. You got to give me the big bucks," the 26-year-old actor said in a mock gangster voice when MTV first's Josh Horowitz promised that there would be no Dr. Phil or Oprah talk during their film-centric chat. "What did you do to prepare for this?"
Talking about what he did to prepare for the role.
Right. It's actor talk. This guy's girlfriend was cheating on him somehow, some way. Somehow they, he caught her or she caught him or he caught something, man. We'd probably have to give them the background on that, though, Bud, and for that you would need to do a little bit more research, because the rest of this is hooey.
Yeah, but that's pretty interesting about this one.
This is just a bunch of crap about his TV show, man. I don't care. Talking about his co-star. He's talking about what was really interesting about this is the cheating ex-girlfriend. You know, do you kill her? Do you, I'll tell you one thing, folks, and,
What do you mean, do you kill her?
No, I'm just kidding about that. But, you know, it is true that in a man's life, and this is just the way men are built, men are built for aggression. And it isn't that we decided to be that way. It isn't that we said, let's be aggressive, because that's different from women who are mostly, they're good at communication and they're, you know. We didn't just say that's how we're going to be. That's the DNA. That's the genetic. That is the inherited trait. And it goes back thousands and thousands of years. Now, I'm not saying that when you look at your balding, middle-aged, fat husband, you should be looking at in point of fact, a Ice Age caveman type who is capable of rending, eviscerating a reindeer in front of you. I mean,
what's that mean?
You don't want to know. Tearing it apart. You know, we're far removed from that, but the fact is we still have this aggressive gene. What does that mean? It means that when we are up against something that is threatening us, it's almost automatic that we go into a sort of an aggressive stance. Now, many men, I like to think most men, can break at that point and say, all right, let's think about how we can get through this, and we're not necessarily going to some illegal act like beating someone to death, shooting someone, or otherwise acting out in an unacceptably violent and destructive manner. But it is a part of the first reaction. You have to understand that before you understand anything else. You know, there's a movie out, they did a very bad remake of it, Straw Dogs. Do you ever see this movie?
No, I saw it hit an ad.
Well, that was actually a remake of the original. It was done with Dustin Hoffman and an actress named Susan George, and it was directed by a man named Sam Peckinpah. Many young filmgoers probably have never heard that name, or if you have heard the name, you might not know which movies were his. Sam Peckinpah pioneered violent imagery in films, and when I say pioneered it, he wasn't the first director to deal with violence, but he was the first director to attempt to graphically portray it on screen, from throats being cut to actually seeing bullets penetrate and wound, slow-mo, all that jazz. Although Peckinpah, I don't think, started the whole slow-mo kick. I think that was in Bonnie and Clyde. But nonetheless...
Now, let's see in slow motion, man, when a guy gets shot.
Yeah, like when a guy flies through a window.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw that in a movie was in Bonnie and Clyde. I don't think I ever saw it before that. I don't think I ever saw the violent scene portrayed in slow motion until I saw the Bonnie and Clyde, the ending scene. And then it was beat into the freaking ground by every TV director for the next, like, 10 years on television. But the movie Straw Dogs is about this. It's about a man who moves to Great Britain. He's a college professor, I believe. He's a man of very peaceful tastes and a very moderate and modest approach to life. He's a man of a calm and resolute behavior. He's a peaceful man. He is a reasonable man. And the world around him is becoming more and more violent and becoming more and more unreasonable. So he marries this very sexy, beautiful blonde chick. And I believe he's an American, and I think he's come to Great Britain and moves with his wife to a very out-of-the-way cottage in the English countryside. And Peckinpah begins to set you up. You almost know what's coming. Here's a man of peace. He's an intellectual man. He's a scholarly man. And all he wants is to be left to his books and left to his study. Now, his wife is a young, very beautiful, sultry, sexual, and very much magnetic young woman.
She's coming on the guys and stuff?
Yeah, because what happens is Dustin Hoffman's character hires these workmen to work on the roof of the house, I think. Some kind of an addition or some sort of repair that needs to be done to this beautiful little cottage. And these workmen are the same type as his wife. They are eyeing her through the window. They're catching these physical cues she's throwing at them. She wants to have a sexual liaison. She's tired. She's bored. And, you know, it's very much a one-dimensional view of this woman. It's a Peckinpah movie. It's cut to the bone. We're talking about women as sexual trophies, men as potentially violent. And I think the point that Peckinpah is making is very clear. No matter how deep those still waters run, even deeper still is a very dangerous animal if you provoke him. And so these guys who are big, you know, dudes, and they're workmen, and they're around the house, and they're doing this and that, and now they see this chick. Well, they decide to go ahead and take advantage of her, and they do so in a manner that is invasive, and suddenly Dustin Hoffman is the character of this professor, is thrown from his world of books and intellectualism to a point where he has to defend his home. He has to defend what he thinks he has to defend, his wife. But in point of fact, he's defending himself, because he's even been betrayed by her. She is
She's giving it up.
Yeah, she gave it up to the guys.
She's given it up to these guys. She has decided that she wants sex from these guys. And what she did not countenance, and again, this is a movie through the eyes of a man, a male filmmaker. She didn't countenance the violence and the rape that this was inviting. And that's exactly what happened. So now this quiet professor is thrown into this violent world where he has to defend his home, and he does. And he does so in the only ways that he knows how to do it. He uses scalding hot water. He uses a bear trap that he has in the house. I believe he is able to get his hands on a shotgun. He uses broken glass as a kind of a knife. And he uses what he can. In other words, the civilized man has everything stripped away.
Yeah, but that's the same thing like Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's sort of like Lord of the Rings, except it's an adult. It's the same kind of theme, but it's not. Lord of the Rings is a whole different thing. It's about society. This is about man against nature. This is about one man, a civilized man. What does he do when he is thrown into an uncompromising world where there is no reason, where there's no way to argue with it or no way to discuss it, no way to talk it out? No one wants to hear your bullcrap, man. They're going to take from you. What are you going to do? You can't talk about it. You're not going to sit there and reason with him. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so he killed him.
Well, it showed, and Peckinpah's point in the film was, don't ever, ever take anybody for granted. No matter how meek and mild and milquetoasty they seem, they can be very dangerous. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm going to show you how to set a bear trap for the milkman. I'm kidding, okay?
That'd be bitching.
No, it wouldn't be bitching. No, it wouldn't. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show on our News and Information Hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Got that all jacked up there. All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. So what did I do? I spent the first 15 minutes of our News and Information Hour talking about a movie that's not out yet because it sucked, right?
Yeah, I think it went out. They did it, and then they said it stinks.
That's really smart, you know. And I'm sure they know far better, and when I say they, I mean movie makers and movie producers. They probably know far better than I do how to make their dollar back from any movie. I'm not. Even that flick, John Carter, you know that?
Yeah, I heard that. That sucked bad.
Well, maybe it sucked, and I understand that a guy lost his job. I think the studio had lost his job, but I just saw where Disney has made their money back already from that stiff on other movie projects. So how disastrous can it be, you know?
Why'd he fire that guy?
They fired the guy because he made a crap movie. He made a movie that didn't make any money. That's a crap movie. But here's my point. Even if you make a crap can movie, man, you're going to make your money back. I remember when that freaking Heaven's Gate came out, which nobody knows what that movie is, and with good reason, because it sucked.
What was that?
It was just never mind what it was. And everybody said it was the worst thing that was ever done. It was the worst piece of garbage that could ever have been made. How dare they do it? You know what, man? I saw that out on cable a few years ago. They cut it. They put it out as a cable, you know, offering, uncut, director's cut, whatever the hell they say. And by the way, thank God for the director's cut of Semi-Pro, or I wouldn't have been in that movie at all.
But, yeah, I saw you in it. You're playing a coach and everything.
Yeah, you had a line.
Yeah, I had a line. I can only tell you that it was an improv part, so the line that I had, I made it up. So, you know. Anyway, I'll bet you anything they made their money back on at Heaven's Gate, and then some. So don't worry about it, man. All right, the United Kingdom and Sweden have criticized Ecuador for granting political asylum to Julian Assange as the diplomatic row over what to do with him intensifies. Now, the WikiLeaks founder, this is the guy who founded this WikiLeaks, and they got their hands on all of that supposed classified information that was then just dumped right out onto the internet by WikiLeaks. It was, some of it at least, obtained through the services of Bradley Manning, a member of the United States Army, which that's the part that just, I think, is a disgrace beyond all measure, especially to Bradley Manning. I don't see that guy as a hero at all, you know. I mean, if you're spying for a degenerate totalitarian government, I can see it. But taking all kinds of cables and communications and, you know, some benign, some not so, but none of this stuff betraying anything about this country or this government that even rises to the level of scandal. None of it. And you remember the United States Army, and you did this. You're just a disgrace. You know what I think they should do with that guy?
Probably ought to put him in prison forever.
No, no, I don't. No, no. You know what I think they should do? Let him out. Let him walk the streets. And just put it out and say, you know what? This piece of garbage, we don't even want this guy at our prison. That's what we think of him. Go on, Bradley. Go on out into the world, man.
What, you hope somebody kill him?
No, I don't hope anybody kills him. No, not at all. In fact, he would probably find a large community of people that would protect him. But for the rest of his life, man, that guy would be nothing more than a stinking, ratting, squealing, dirty leaker, man. And
now there'll be people that think he's a hero and everything.
Yeah, I agree with that. They would think he's. They would have like a website showing how great he is.
Maybe they would. But I guarantee that there would be an equal number, if not more, of people that would just take a wide walk around him just to get away from the stink when he came down the street. See, there's all kinds of so-called snitches and rats, people. And the word snitch and the word rat, which was one that had been reserved to the underworld for many, 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 many years, now is used in the popular vernacular by just about anybody. I mean, I saw that word snitch and rat used by the hip-hop community when a promoter who was sick and tired of Kat Stacks and her bullcrap, not showing up when she said she would, being so drunk she couldn't get her fat ass out of a hotel bed, he finally said, hey, I'm not paying for this, and he canceled her plane ticket. So guess what happened? While she's at the airport, she goes to get her plane ticket. It's been canceled. They ask her for her ID, and guess what she's carrying?
What?
She's carrying her Venezuelan passport.
Yeah, you're not even a citizen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So she shows the Venezuelan passport, and they go, are you a citizen of Venezuela? We don't understand. What does this mean? You're in the country. They find out that she's in the country illegally. And guess what? Her ass gets thrown into the immigrant detention down in Louisiana, where she's been now for almost 2 years. Now, I don't care one way or the other. I do. It concerns me that the promoter, who was a guy in Nashville, what's that cat's name?
I forget. Money B.
Money B, this promoter in Nashville. This guy, all he wanted was for her to show up. He was promoting her appearance, show up, do some interviews at some radio stations, and do a club appearance. And the chick can't get out of bed because she's so hammered on the tequila that he bought. He bought her a bottle of Patron.
You should have taught her how.
Well, no. That's not my job. I ain't teaching Kat Stacks how to drink tequila. No thanks. But the point is, she got so hammered, she can't get her fat ass out of bed. So he says, well, I'm not paying for this. And she demanded her money. I think he gave her money. And the story's all online. And eventually what happened was he said, well, screw this. I'm not going to pay for her plane ticket. He canceled the ticket. I would, too. So she can't get her plane back to Miami. She gets stopped instead by the cops, who then turn her over to immigration. Turns out she's in the country illegally with her stupid Venezuelan passport. She should have known. She's got a son. She's got family. And this idiot's... and they called him a snitch, you know?
No, that's not fair.
Damn right it ain't fair. All right, I'll get back to Julian Assange in a moment here. Or maybe we'll just keep talking about Kat Stacks. Actually, there's nothing more to talk about.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting story. I'd talk about that, too, if I'd you.
What? What did you say?
Man, you gotta learn English. But I would talk English.
I was talk English. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I said. Was talking English.
No, you don't talk no English I ever heard.
Then go get Kat Stacks.
What?
Gonna go get Kat Stacks.
Man, I still don't get you.
Phil Hendry.
This is World Famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, our news and information hour. Now, getting back here to Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder took refuge in Ecuador's London embassy in June as he faced extradition to Sweden on sexual assault allegations, which he denies. Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, he's denying. Of course he's going to deny that.
The UK has said it will not allow him safe passage out of the country. So he's in Ecuador's London embassy. Ecuador's Foreign Minister Ricardo Patino said he hoped talks with the UK would overcome this. He told BBC Mundo the UK should respect Ecuador's sovereign decision. Otherwise, we will use the alternatives under international law to demand the safe passage. We don't think it's reasonable that after a sovereign government has made the decision of granting political asylum, a citizen is forced to live in an embassy for a long period, he added. You may not think it reasonable, but it's been done many, many times, Mr. Patino. It has been done many, many times when a sovereign government wants to apprehend and arrest an individual. They sure as hell got safe haven inside the embassy, but time and again, we have seen governments not allow safe passage out of the country to an individual that they want to arrest. Most recent in my memory, of course, Noriega in Panama. His ass, he didn't make two steps out the front door of that Vatican embassy before he was apprehended and remanded to the custody of the United States government, and now his ass...
His ass in jail.
Yeah. His ass is in jail. So Ecuador may have to, you know, figure this one out. Anyway, Ecuador says Mr. Assange's human rights might be violated if he's sent to Sweden to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two female WikiLeaks volunteers while he was in Stockholm to give a lecture in 2010. His human rights. Now, you guys violating human rights, you know all about that in South America, I can tell you that. Because you cats in Ecuador and all those other countries pioneered the use of the blowtorch, fingernail removal, the car battery attached to testicles, the car battery attached to the metal springs on a bed frame. You guys used it all the time. So maybe you think they do that stuff in Sweden. Last I checked, Sweden was all, you know, ain't they, what do you call that?
Yeah, they're all like international law, Sweden and everything, man. They're peace-loving.
Yeah, the Swedes, they don't even... They won't even say boo or nothing if they catch you.
Well, now, let's not make them out to be a bunch of namby-pambies. The Swedes have got laws, and they got cops, you know?
Yeah, but they're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy.
Yeah, ain't they the first one to do that?
They're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy. I'd never heard it put that way, bud.
Yeah, they was. You'd have to be some kind of country where respects the rights of others if you're ready to install, well, I shouldn't say, but they installed a vagina.
And, all right, will you knock it off?
Well, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, how does that make them more prone to respect civil rights because they installed a vagina?
Because that, if a guy said, I want to have my civil rights under the law, and if that means I got to be a woman to get them, then I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would never do that, but...
You wouldn't do that, huh?
What?
I mean, if they said that you cannot have any civil rights unless you're a woman and they offered to give you the surgery...
Yeah, what would you do, Robert?
Shut up, man. None of your business.
I bet you'd probably put high heels on.
No, you already have put on high heels, I'll bet, to do that.
Yeah, but...
Hey, hey, hey! Start beating... What did I tell you about that? What a stupid conversation. Sweden, man, they're all into human rights because, after all, they're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy. I don't even know they were.
Yeah, he was.
Are you sure?
I think they were, man, wasn't it?
I don't know, man. I remember when that story broke, I was a kid. It was that Dr. Renee Richards. I don't know. Maybe she was... I think it was something else. I think it was later. All right, anyway, let me get back to this, okay? So, Sweden and Ecuador. Boy, you guys got a pair on you thinking Sweden's going to be overstepping their bounds or bounding over their steps. Ecuador, you got some pair on you. How many guys are rotting away in a dungeon in your country right now? Yeah, hey, Assange, sounds like a good move. Why don't you move to Ecuador? And if you ever run afoul of their law down there, bye. Because we'll never see your ass again, man. You will be floating down a river someplace.
Yeah, no kidding, man. They be floating down a river like, you know, butt up with a flower in it.
No kidding.
Butt up with a flower in it.
Shut up, man. Shut up.
He's going to belch it. I'm not going to stop him.
Really?
Yeah.
I told you.
That was a cheap shot.
No, it wasn't.
All right, hold on. Ecuador says Mr. Assange's human rights might be violated if he's sent to Sweden to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two. Well, we wouldn't want him to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two females, now would we? That would be wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, the strange bedfellows that some of these slobs make, some of these people that are the human rights advocates, and they tend to be these unreasonable progressive types, you know? And by unreasonable, this is what I mean. They don't care if it conflicts with every kind of logic on God's good earth. They find themselves defending the rights of some swinehunt. Well, he's innocent until proven guilty. I understand that he's innocent until proven guilty, but he is charged with this. Anyway, the WikiLeaks website has published a mass of leaked diplomatic cables that embarrass several countries, particularly the U.S. The 41-year-old Australian citizen who claims the sexual contact was consensual says the allegations against him are politically motivated, and he fears that if extradited to Sweden, he will then be passed on to U.S. authorities. Mr. Assange said that while Ecuador's decision was a historic victory, our struggles have just begun, adding that the unprecedented U.S. investigation against WikiLeaks must be stopped. Why? You took cables that were not yours and in violation of the law, and one of the main proponents of your apprehension and your extradition, Mr. Assange, is none other than President Obama, who is the chief executive of our country, and while I'm sure you feted and celebrated his taking office as President of the United States, as I did, the fact is he's still the President of the United States, he's the number one law enforcement officer in this country, and he wants your ass arrested. How do you feel about that? Or does that make Obama now a reactionary and part of the enemy? You know, I could have read it. If you could read the stuff with Braille, man, what's wrong with the picture? I could have told you this stuff was going to happen. And I can tell you, I'll go back and I'll find the tapes and I'll play them for you. I said on my radio show, Obama becomes president, you watch, he's going to be more hated by Democrats than he is by Republicans. He's going to be more despised by progressives in his own party than he will be by conservatives. Because he's going to be the president. And when he finally sees what's in the inbox, he's going to say, oh, well, the lay of the land's a little different from the fairy tale and this land of cotton candy that all the rest of these jive-ass people would have me believe it is. And just like I was telling you, the people that killed Obama's agenda in the Congress in terms of selling it to the American people were his own Democratic supporters. They murdered it. They just cut it, I mean, to pieces. So now Obama's president, and guess what? He wants this piece of garbage put in jail just like any other reasonable and law-abiding American president would. So that makes him some kind of a reactionary member of the opposition. You know, there's no winning for losing with some of these dumbasses. The 41-year-old Australian citizen who claims the sexual contact was consensual fears he'll be passed on to U.S. authorities. You better believe it, man. Our struggles have just begun. He wants the WikiLeaks investigation stopped. Are you kidding? You trying to tell us what to do in our own country? You trying to tell us what laws we're supposed to enforce in our own country, Mr. Assange? Who the hell are you, man? You're going to be the guy that's going to decide what cables get leaked, when and how. Is that it? We hand it over to Mr. Julian Assange, the secretary of jackass.
That's pretty good. Call up President Obama and we'll have that cabinet post.
I'll nominate you, bud.
Yeah, I'll nominate you. I don't care. I'll be the secretary of jackass.
Secretary of jackass is a jackass. Don't you understand?
I thought that was a guy that's going to get the jackass.
Well, we could do that, too. But Assange, he'd be the guy, we'll have him in the cabinet, he'll be the secretary of Jack Ball, and he will say, well, I think we ought to leak all these cables. You know why? Why is that? Well, I got out of bed on the wrong side. This is really important. Because I, Julian Assange, citizen of Australia, I think this stuff should be leaked.
Woo!
What a pair on him, man. He said, UK Secretary William Hague's, the Foreign Secretary William Hague said there was no legal basis to allow Mr. Assange safe passage out of the country and warned that the case could go on for considerable time. The UK Foreign Office says it remains committed to reaching a negotiated solution, but following its obligations under the Extradition Act, it would arrest Mr. Assange if he left the embassy. Good. Ecuador had described. Let me tell you what's going on here, folks. It's right that this be stopped in its tracks. There has been a sense that has been allowed to grow and grow and grow beyond normal controls and proportions, that the internet is somehow a place elevated above and beyond law, that it's a place, it's a fantasy land where you can go and do whatever you want. It's a place beyond the restrictions of normal society where you can frolic and play, and just basically you can play with your own feces. That's what they do over there on the internet, some of these people. Mr. Assange is like the leader of this movement, if you will. He's not really, but there's all kinds of, you know, Kim.com. They all pop up from here from time to time. Most of these guys, like that fat-ass Kim.com, he's been stealing for years. He's a thief, and he's been ripping people off, and now his ass is in jail, which is where it's probably going to rot. Because these guys have been operating beyond the constraint of law for a long time. Now comes Assange, and this guy is probably the most intelligent and politically savvy of all of them, but he is, in his own smarmy olive oil way, I'm just quoting John Marley from Godfather.
Yeah, all that Guinea charm and his olive oil voice.
Yeah, only Assange is not a...
He ain't no Guinea.
All right, easy, will you? In his charming way, he's saying, well, you know, this and that and thus and so. But the fact is, he's basically saying the same thing. We want the freedom and the right to play with our own muck and to play with our own filth on the internet. And how dare you tell us that we can't? That's what he's saying. That's the bottom line. We're the ones who are going to decide what is bad. We're the ones that are going to leak it when we feel like leaking it. We're the ones that will set the standard. Who are you? Don't worry. How dare you ask? So it's the human condition. It is the human instinct to want to break the confines and just run out there naked and just play around in the muck and be a child again. That's really what's going on here. It's the, I suppose you could say, the normal urgings that human beings have from time to time to want to just go off and be a hippy-dippy man in the commune.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
But you can't. You can't do it for any length of time. Otherwise, you have no society, and you don't have the votes there, man. No matter how groovy or how freewheeling you are or how much you desire the free exchange of information, the votes aren't there for you to just go and do whatever you want to do. The human race has been there already. We've seen that kind of chaos. We don't want it anymore. So after a while, when we finally get our bearings and we see what a piece of crap like you is doing, Mr. Assange, we bring the law to bear. And you are brought to Brooke.
Who's she?
Brooke, just some chick. It's a saying. And that's what's happening now. To a guy like Assange, to some of the other scum, to Demonoid, to Kim.com, to you name it, Pirate Bay, possibly. I mean, you name any and all of these websites that felt that they had a almost like a divine right to walk all over anybody that they wanted to, and it's just not going to happen. Because what's happening is once they shut down a guy like this, people that do business with him don't want to do business with him anymore, because if there's one thing they don't want to wind up like him. And where all of his friends were, all of these people that were going to give him all of this sustenance and all of this succor, suddenly they're gone. They're not in his corner anymore. All right, we'll be back. That's all I have to say about that.
What's succor?
That's a sweetener?
Yeah, that's right. It's a sweetener. Wow.
I don't know what it is.
It means something gay. All right, we'll be right back. World famous. No, it doesn't. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, look at the New York Times. Show. Front page of the Times next.
Yeah!
World famous Phil Hendry Show back. Our final segment here in the News and Information Hour. If you are watching Phil TV in HD, you saw us flash very briefly to the front page of the New York Times. This is our semi-usual feature here.
Yeah, forgot to do it last week.
We didn't forget to do it all last week, did we?
Yeah, well, I forgot to do it a lot of time.
Well, we're not forgetting tonight. What we do is we take a front page of the New York Times, a front page, any one of the many front pages between the years 2008 and 1851, because we have this little CD-ROM that shows us all of the New York Times front pages, and we pick a year, and we take today's date. Today's date being
August 17th to, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's August 17th. And Dan Northcraft, our technical director, picked out the year 1982. And I found a very interesting, now if you're looking there, the New York Times, I'll flip over to it. On the New York Times, August 18, 1982, which would be 30 years ago. So if your birthday is that date, you're 30 today. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're not 30.
Oh.
You idiot.
He didn't shut up, man.
Hey, hey. What do you mean, thank you?
Well, I only said happy birthday.
Yeah, only if it's your birthday.
I know now, man.
All right. U.S.-China. So on August the 17th, 1982, the headlines of the New York Times said U.S.-China Accord provides for a cut in arms in Taiwan. Yeah, okay, great. Real sexy. And then there's a thing, Citicorp purchase on the coast is backed. This was kind of interesting. This Citicorp became the first bank to go to cross state lines. Up before that, banks were chartered to states, but not national. And Citicorp became the first under the new Reagan regime. And this freeing, if you will, of constraints on business extended to banks. So that's a significant story there. 1982, Citicorp becomes the first. Not saying that that necessarily led to all of the devastation that we saw economically in recent years, although I'm sure there are people that would make that argument. Then we have conferees make $13.6 billion cut in spending to reduce the deficit. This was congressional conferees ended 3 days of negotiations today by agreeing on a $13 billion in spending cuts. The cuts were the final element in a package of spending reductions and tax increases that would reduce the federal deficit by nearly $130 billion over the next 3 fiscal years. But then, under the pen of Howell Raines, special to the New York Times from Washington, D.C., comes this article. With his televised speech tonight, now again, this is covering President Reagan's televised speech of the night before. That was August the 16th of 1982. The president went on TV, and here's what he said. With his televised speech tonight, on behalf of a bill raising taxes by $98.3 billion over the next 3 fiscal years, President Reagan placed in jeopardy his reputation for ideological consistency and a mastery of Congress. Now, I think it's really interesting because I recognize that the New York Times by this point was indeed very much a liberal newspaper. But this is a bit of analysis. This is not reporting a story. This is analysis of the speech, and it's the analysis that the writer for the New York Times came to, Howell Raines. Nonetheless, it is a view of something that did happen. President Reagan was a proponent of a $98.3 billion tax increase. The political threat to Mr. Reagan is illustrated by the conservative revolt that some congressional critics say may deny him a majority of the 192 Republican votes in the House of Representatives. As a consequence, for the first time in his presidency, Mr. Reagan addressed the nation tonight as a chief executive who lacked the unified support of his party. The discord among the Republicans was underscored by the supportive response from Representative Thomas S. Foley of Washington, the Democratic spokesman who called for passage of the bill. The speech also marked two other firsts for the president. Never before has he placed his full prestige behind a bill shaped mainly by congressional pressures rather than his own principles, and never before has Mr. Reagan been so dependent on House Speaker Thomas O'Neill. Now, why is Phil reading this?
You're showing that Reagan was for tax increases.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, no, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. This is the political genius of Ronald Reagan. He's got a writer for the New York Times claiming that Reagan has been forced to compromise his principles. He doesn't realize Ronald Reagan today is seen as a man who was able to work with the Democrats in the Congress of his day to get his spending cuts passed, and he did it by way of asserting a bill with $98 billion worth of tax increases. He was able to get Tom Foley and Tip O'Neill on his side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Ronald Reagan is today seen as a great president. It isn't because he was such an arch conservative. It's because he even had Democrats who admired him and supported him and worked on his behalf. The world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.